that's, I kind of dread that one. I do this COVID going on, this heat. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody this morning. And hopefully we got some on YouTube this morning, too, as well. But it's good to see everybody. And let's go ahead and stand and turn to page 2. Glory to His name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, dear to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saved from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me, keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast up your soul at our Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Amen. Let's go in the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be back in your house again this morning, Lord, and just it's good to see all the smiling faces this morning, and just thank you for the weather, and just thank you for the safety you give us in this the heat, Lord, and just we got ones that work out in it every day, and just keep them all safe, and just be with us this morning, Lord, and be with Brother Jeff and give him spirit to preach your message, Lord, and just touch his heart, Lord, and allow it to enter our ears and enter our heart, Lord, and we just thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all may be seated. Page 55, When the Rose Called Up Yonder.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saints on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the rose called up yonder, I'll be there. When the rose is called up yonder, when is called up yonder, when the road is called up yonder, when the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and fabulous morning, when the dead on Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather over on beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us put his loner's love and care. When all life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Amen.
Good to see everyone today. I appreciate everyone coming. I hope we've got some on YouTube joining us. It's not working. Well, praise the Lord, it's not working. Start getting amens on the YouTube and amens here. Well, we'll just have a good time with it. I don't know. Praise the Lord for technology. And I'm thankful that we have that opportunity. So those that are able to join in at the house, I do appreciate that as well. I do ask you to keep everyone in prayer. Pray for the safety of the church, the well-being of everyone in it and around it and involved. I'm thankful to be able to come to the house of God, but I do want to remind you, be wise. I ask you to come to your pews. Find your seat there. I don't care how loud it gets. It was kind of loud earlier that we all came together, and yeah, it's loud, kind of hollering across, and that's okay because I'd rather that be the case. You want to wear a mask, wear a mask. You want to wear whatever you want to wear, that's fine. Well, stay modest. Amen. And so I'm afraid that people are, you know, it's amazing. You can be immodest and still wear a mask and think everything's all right. But listen, there's no such thing as a Band-Aid. I don't care how much you believe that it's real or not real. That's your own personal opinion. Personally, I've never ate arsenic. Anyone in here ever eat arsenic? But I have seen what it does. And that I just say I don't need it. Now, you can have a little bit of it. I've heard people say that, you know, in apple seeds there's arsenic. So, all right, I guess I play with it because I do eat apple juice. And I guarantee you when they mechanically process it, they don't get all the seeds out before they squeeze it. Amen. Just a thought there. But nonetheless, I don't want to play with this. Let's just be wise. Let's be safe. And let's protect each other. I might not be protecting myself. I might be protecting you. And I've told you before, the best personal protective equipment or PPE that you can ever use is that matter that God put between your ears. Amen. And so use it. And be wise with it. Do ask you to pray for the leadership of our nation. Definitely, you want to talk about greed, and greed being the driving factor. Understand that we are higher than we've ever been, and we have a higher increase than we've ever had, and yet there's less care today and less concern today. Greed drives a lot of things. And just be careful. They do not care about you. I don't care if we're in an election year and they're all telling you and they're, well, they can't kiss you right now. But they'll social distance blow you a kiss, I guess. But realize that they still don't care about you. They still care about the dollar. And so be very wise. Pray for our leadership. Pray for the church. Pray for faithfulness. I do want to thank all those that are continuing to be faithful. I know YouTube gets old, and I know Sunday nights we're on YouTube. And by the way, it's still church. You say, preacher, when are we going to go back to normal? I don't know that this isn't going to be normal. I mean, honestly, I don't know what normal is going to be. I don't know what we're looking at. And to be honest, I don't trust our vaccines anyway. I've gotten the flu shot many, many times. And I know that they say you can't get sick from the flu shot. It's funny that every time I get it, I get sick. Just a thought. But the truth of the matter is we need to be faithful when we're having church. We're having church. It doesn't matter if it's at the house of God or if it's via your house through YouTube. It's still church. And so I encourage you to be faithful. Of course, I'm thankful for the faithful support of the church as well. How God has blessed, and He's continued to bless through all of this. And then we get the opportunity. And not that we've got to give, but that we get to give. Amen. I'm thankful when David was building the house of God, he was only able to prepare for it. Solomon got to build it. But he said, you know, I might not be the one that's going to put the physical posts down. I'm not going to be the one that's going to lay the gold on, but I can prepare for it. And listen, you don't know what way you're paving for the future by just being faithful today. Amen. That's all the announcements I have. And pray for each other. Pray for one another. Amen, brother.
All right, let's stand and turn to page 44. We'll work till Jesus comes.
Anyone notice that the heat's here? Amen. We live in South Georgia. It means that not only do you get the heat, but you get the humidity to go with it. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. There was a young man yesterday that was hurting, complaining that it was too humid in Georgia. And Jacob, I've already got the CD started, but if you'd shut my pulpit mic off, it'd be great. Amen. And he was complaining about the humidity. He said he'd rather be in Texas. And last time I checked, they get humid too. Amen. And I think it's just the fact that it's summertime and that we like to complain. You ever notice that? We are a complaining people. You say, preacher, it's hot, it's cold. I didn't get the... I know I cut my sermon. And I know that I put it somewhere. Amen. Well, Jacob, would you look on my desk? What have we done to America is the title of it, Jacob. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn over to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, you say, preacher, how are you going to do this? I don't know. I'll preach it. I know some of it. Amen. I got it in there. Amen. I was like, I know I cut it. Cut it to fit my Bible. I just forgot to put it in my Bible. And 2 Samuel chapter number 24. Now, I want to read the first four verses, and then we're going to skip down to the eighth verse. And you say, preacher, are you taking it out of context? No, I'm just giving you what we need to know through this context. David is going to number the people. There's a problem. There's a problem in Israel, and I would even like to relate it today to the problem in America. And you're going to catch this here in just a few moments. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse number 1, if you're there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Do ask you to pray for our nation. America has really been on my heart. It's not that I don't pray for our nation, but I'm watching as we're going in a landslide. It started out slow, and you could see it, but the velocity has gained in such a point that you now see it extremely accelerating down. And I guess because we're in America, we're going this way. Say, preacher, what's that mean? Well, that's when you flush the toilet, it spins this way. All right? But that's where we're headed. We're in trouble. And I don't blame the lost. Although God's not pleased with any sin, I don't blame the lost. They're doing what lost people do. The problem is God's people need to wake up. If they're truly God's people, it's time that we wake up and we come to Him and with a repentant heart and really see what God has in store. 2 Samuel 24, verse number 1, it says, "And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and He moved David against them to say, 'Go number Israel and Judah.' For the king said to Joab, the captain of hosts, which was with him, 'Go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people.' And Joab said unto the king, 'Now the Lord thy God added unto the people, how many soever they be, 100-fold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel." Skip on down to verse number 8. "So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and they were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. Verse 10, "And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, 'I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly.' And when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, 'Go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I have offered thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee.' So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, 'Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in the land, in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me.'" Verse 14, "And David said unto Gad, 'I am in a great strait. let us fall now into the hand of the Lord. For His mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, "It is enough. Stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, "Lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Lord, it's been such a blessing to be in your house, Lord, just to be able to come and sing the few songs that we were singing this morning. Lord, just to see the few faces that are here today. But Lord, great is it going to be as you show up, Lord. And Father, I know that you're within us, but Father, so many times we've quenched, you're just a smoking flax, Lord, in the fact that you're not that burning fire within us. And Lord, I pray today that you would just ignite within us, Lord, that we would leave this house saying that it's been good to be in the house of God. And Lord, I pray that your work would be seen and that your will would be done. And Father, use me as a vessel, Lord. I am but an earthen vessel, but Lord, I'm thankful to be a willing vessel. And Lord, I pray that you would fill me today. Give me a fresh anointing from on high. Preach through me, Lord. Teach your people your will and your way, and that it would be to your glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look at this account and we think about Israel as a nation and what's going on in Israel and the fact that God is not pleased with them. As I read in verse number 1, I do want to point out here in chapter 24, verse number 1, it says, "And again..." Again, this wasn't the first time that God had to deal with the nation of Israel. This wasn't the first time that God had been angered by the actions of His people. Remember that Israel was called to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God had called them unto Him. In fact, if we were to read on and look at the whole history of Israel and understand how many times Israel had walked with God and fallen away, walked with God and fallen away, we could go back to the book of Judges. Remember that Samuel was the last judge and the first prophet. And in the book of Judges, the children of Israel would fall away. God would judge them and raise up a judge after that. And they'd turn and they'd walk with him for a little bit. And then when that judge would die, they'd fall away. And at this point in Israel's history, they're not thankful for David's kingdom. Remember that David was a man after God's own heart. David loved the Lord, but they weren't even pleased with that kingdom anymore. They were ungrateful for anything that was taking place. They were to the point that they had even fallen away from God's leadership. Remember that they had went and they had followed Absalom away from David and the one that God had ordained and put there in place. And we look at everything that's taken place in Israel, it just reminds me about America. You know, at one time, and you would say, "Preacher, America really hasn't ever and hasn't really..." But hold on a second. I look at the majority of America. When it was founded, there was at least a fear of God. There was at least an acknowledgement of God. There was a respect for the things of God. It didn't matter how much you believed or who you believed that He was. There was a fear. And today we've came to the place that we deny that God even exists. I'm talking about the majority. You see, there's plenty that have the lip service, but there's few that really believe it. There's few that really live it. I look and I wonder if God looks down and He says, "America, I'm angry again." And I wonder how many times God's tried to shake us up. I wonder how many times, and you say, "Preacher, the 4th of July was last weekend." I don't know that there's ever a time that we need to quit preaching for our country because the need is so great. And I look here and I find that today the majority is a mockery.
There's no respect for the things of God. They've made their own God. Sundays are business as usual. Amen. I've heard it said before that Sundays are people who love the church. Sunday nights are people who love the pastor. And Wednesday nights are for people who love the Lord. And I don't know. That's probably the truth. At least the heart of the church is Wednesday night. Listen, I know you say, preacher, I can't come or I can't do. Or you know, I was talking to Jonathan this morning. I'm going to chase a rabbit. And I don't care if you like it or don't. I was talking to Jonathan this morning. You know what really gets under my skin? People that complain when we don't have church, and they're the last ones to come when we do. Amen. Oh, I tell you, Jonathan got such ridicule when he had to close down. Listen to me. There's a need to be wise, and it's not wise to stick your hand in a hole that you don't know what's in there. Amen. You survey it first. You look to see what's there before you put your hand in there. I like all my digits. Amen. And you have to use caution with it. Oh, he received some ridicule. And now that they're having service, those that ridiculed aren't even there. I'm like, boy, if I could, You say, preacher, that's built up hostility. Let it out. It's amazing. But that's where we are today. We got a whole bunch that want to complain about what God's not doing, but they won't let God do anything in their life. Amen. And so I wonder how many times God looks down at America and says, America, I have somewhat against you. But then I have to think about the church. You see, because God's not dealing with America as a nation, He's going to deal with the churches in America. God doesn't deal with the country of America. Oh, sure, He's wanting the lost to be saved that are in America. But may I tell you that He's going to deal with America through the church. Because that's what the Bible says. And so, at one time, if we would look at the churches in America, there was a majority that taught the whole counsel of God. That sin was sin and that repentance was still necessary for salvation. That it's not the matter of just praying a prayer and putting on a name badge. Hello, my name is, I'm a Christian. And walking and doing whatever you wanted. No, they were against it. I remember when there was churches that stood up and said no alcohol sales, period. And now there's churches that say that alcohol sales on Sunday is not a bad thing in case you want to get a drink after service. What's happened? I know you say, preacher, are you irate? No, I'm not mad at you. I just see the urgency. I see what's happening. Have we not looked out and seen the hand of God touching the people of America because the churches are asleep? Amen. Now I wonder why we're catering to sin and we're saying that it's okay. You know, I truly see us as that Laodicean church age. Where God says in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 16, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Oh, you ever get frustrated when you look out and you see what people are doing that causes you pain? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, really, we were traveling. I guess we had to go to Statesboro this week and we were traveling down the road. And they don't have the prison workers out there doing it right now. In Bullock County, they don't have prison workers out there doing it right now. I don't think they do in Bryan either because I haven't seen them out and about. But they don't even have the city workers doing it or the county workers doing it in Bullock County. They've contracted it out. And now they're, you see, contract company that your tax dollars are paying for picking up trash. Now, you say, preacher, someone's got to pick up the trash. Why? It shouldn't have been there in the first place. Amen. Brother Duke, I meant to ask you yesterday, there's several someones out there in our neighborhood that out there that I want to whoop their tail. Because they think that it's funny and you can see it going down. Now listen, this is not a good road anyway. It will tear your vehicle up, lickety split. It is not a good road. And then you have these foolish people out there that, listen, they must have a Ford. It is a powerful truck. Because they can spin tires on sand. Woo! That shows what a great truck you got. But they will do that, and you say, "Preacher, are you sure it's not a four-wheeler? If it's got that wide of a wheelbase..." No, I've seen the trucks doing it. This one little Ford Ranger, we used to have the yellow truck. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" No, out there was this yellow truck, and we used to laugh every time it'd go by. Man, they would just go down that road. We go 10 miles an hour, and that's only in good spots. There's some spots that you kind of do this. Amen. Brother Duke, I'm not exaggerating, am I? And then you pull an empty trailer, you're going less than that because it's bouncing you around too. And so you're going through this. But yellow truck would go through these roads. She had to be traveling at least 40. I mean, she moved. Last time we saw yellow truck, well, we've seen her broke down on the side of the road, or at least the truck. You say, "Preacher, how do you know it was that?" Oh, it was non-mistakable. But the last time we seen her in that neck of the woods, it sounded like chitty, chitty, bang, bang. Everyone know chitty, chitty, bang, bang? You know, pop, 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 pop. Amen. Well, we just had a laugh. Well, then there's three more. There's this little bitty Ford Ranger truck that every time he goes around the corner, he sees how much dirt he can fly around. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" That affects me. That affects me. There's some houses out in that neck of the woods that their trash heap is coming from their yard out into the road. And I'm going, "Hold on a second. What is going on?" Now you say, "Preacher, why don't you go say something to them?" I'll bring you and let you say something to them. And then I'll drive on because they're probably going to shoot you. Amen. And I just, I'm not, why? You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" There's a whole lot of things that are done that affects me and it bothers me. America's condition bothers me. America's condition where it is today bothers me. And I wonder what we've done. What have we done to America? David's account here of numbering the people, and I know you're going to say, "Preacher, this was God's judgment on the nation." I don't know if it's not God speaking to the church and God's judgment on America, but we call it COVID. We call it the coronavirus. I'm not telling you that God's sending it down and trying to kill people, but I will tell you that God will use things like this to wake us up. It's time that we start. You know, it's amazing to me. Brother John Mills sent out a prayer letter. I want to say it was his April prayer letter, and it shows pictures in Brazil. And people are lined the street. Now listen, they practice social distancing. So you'd have one here and you'd have one there. I'm talking about in the middle of the road. And they would just be praying to God that God would do something for them and something to help them through this. God, search me. God, use me. I was talking to Brother John Mills a couple weeks ago, and he said there in India, one of the pastors that he goes and he's spending that time with them every January when he goes to India, and he helps teach in the Bible Institute, and he's preaching a few revivals and missions conferences and doing some work over there in India. He said one of those pastors had called him and he said, "Brother, it's the greatest sound that you've ever heard. When you walk out in the morning and you can just hear people praying for the country." Not America. Not America. Not America's churches. You say, "Preacher, I'm talking about the majority now. Don't get mad at me. I'm talking about the majority of churches, but then I also want to bring it home. How about us? When's the last time we've really labored in prayer about what's going on? May I tell you that a mask's not going to help you? And by the way, read the outside of that mask box. It's going to tell you does not prevent COVID. I'd love to put orange chalk dust on everything. You say, "Preacher, what's that going to do?" Maybe even just dye. Black light or UV dye. Put it on everything. You don't even know you're touching it. And then shine a black light on you and see how many places you've touched on you that you've contaminated it. Now listen to me. There's nothing that the CDC is going to put out that's going to prevent COVID. There's no such thing as a cure. The flu vaccine's proof. Every year, they've got to have another flu vaccine. Guess what? In 2019, we had COVID-19. Guess what we're going to have in 2020? It mutated. Now it's a different strand. Now we have COVID-20. All I'm trying to get you to understand is that there's still a God in charge, and He's the one that we need to be praying to. He's the one that we need to be focusing on. I don't care if they ever open another restaurant. I could care less if I can't go in and sit down and eat at another restaurant. I haven't went into a restaurant since this all started off mid-March. You say, preacher, why not? Why? I don't need to. I'm not saying that I haven't eaten out. We've had a few times. We've went to some drive-thrus. Chick-fil-A's always open. Amen. Except Sundays. Praise the Lord. Amen. But let's look at this. What have we done to America? We need to take some personal responsibility here. Notice, first of all, the reconnaissance of the sin. Let's examine this just a moment. The Bible tells us in 2 Samuel 24, in verse number 1, that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and He moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. So notice this. I would ask us, first of all, before we really get into the subpoints, is what was so sinful about this? Did Moses not number the children of Israel twice? What was so sinful about numbering the children of Israel? What was so sinful that David did? May I remind you that Jesus knows all of His sheep and the names of them? What was so wrong with David doing this? Now there's some, hold your place in 2 Samuel. I want you to turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 27. There's some that say that he numbered them too young. You see, it was a sin to number under 20. Because it was about numbering for war. It was about numbering for strength. Look, if you would, at 1 Chronicles chapter number 27. And look at verse number 23. 1 Chronicles 27. 1 Chronicles chapter number 27, look at verse number 23. But David took not the number of them from 20 years old and under, because the Lord had said He would increase Israel like the stars of the heavens. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, began to number, but he finished not, because there fell wrath for it against Israel. Neither was the number put into account, the account of the Chronicles of David. And so we find here that David didn't count 20 and under. They were counting legitimately. Some would say that David was trying to prove God's promise wrong in the fact that it was an innumerable amount. Now remember that the number was not of all of Israel, it was who could go to war. So David wasn't trying to prove that God's numbering or God's promise was inaccurate. Some would even say that he didn't require the half shekel. Look over to Exodus chapter number 30. Look at Exodus 30. In Exodus chapter number 30, we find the importance of the half shekel. In Exodus 30 and verse number 12, the Bible says, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul. And so that half shekel was the ransom for their soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them, this they shall give every one that passeth among them that are numbered a half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is the weight, is 20 gerahs, and a half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. And so this was the ransom for their soul. And some would say that this was the reason for the plague that came. But may I give us two other reasons that I find that are right here in the text? First of all, as I find the agenda of the numbering. The agenda of the numbering. When did God tell David to number? And I know you're going to say, preacher, right there in verse number 1, that God had moved David. I want you to turn back over to 1 Chronicles chapter number 21. And in 1 Chronicles 21, if you want to put a marker there, that's fine. We'll probably head back there because this is the same account, but this is written in the Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter number 21, I want you to look at verse number 1. And I'm going to tell you that God allowed, but God didn't tell him to. And I have proof. In 1 Chronicles 21, look at verse number 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Who told David to number Israel? You know what's happened to America? Satan stood up. Satan stood up and he's provoked. He's told us that we can do that. Now listen to me. Satan only has the authority that God gives him. Satan is not God. But Satan can sure convince a whole lot of people that he is. Satan can convince you that something looks like it would be godly or that God would be okay with it. I already told you, it seemed innocent. Why is David doing it? Satan provoked him to do it. And so I look here and I find the agenda of the numbering. How many times is God really in our schedules? I'm not telling you that it's vile. I'm not telling you that it's a sinful thing for you to do it. But has God directed it? Is God the first one that we seek? Is God's direction what we want for our life? Hold on a second. The problem in America isn't the Americans that are lost. It's those that are saved in the church. And God's no longer in it. You see, because it's more than just coming to the church house on Sunday morning. It's more than showing up for a YouTube service at Sunday night or coming back to the house of God on Wednesday. No, it's 24/7, 365, and this year it's 366 days. We should be jumping for joy. 2020, instead of complaining about all that's going on, boy, we've had COVID, we've had murder hornets, we've had Sahara dust, we've had this and we've had that. No, we should be praising the Lord. You say, preacher, why is that? We have one extra day to serve the Lord. Amen. And so I find here that God's no longer in our agenda today. Punctual. Priority. I know. I know that we can't fit all the church in here and keep social distancing. And I'm not honestly saying that I want all the church here because it only takes one. But it's amazing to me that it's not really a priority. I know that we've got it live on YouTube, and I'm doing the best I can to keep it there and doing what I'm supposed to do. And Satan likes to provoke with that too. So it'd be easy to throw that phone across the room. But I wonder when God's lost His priority in our life. That everything, I'm talking about getting up in the morning and reading your Bible. You say, preacher, I'd rather read my Bible when I'm tired and the day's over and I'm well spent. You know what I want to do when I'm tired and the day's over and I'm well spent? Go to sleep. How much do you concentrate when you wait and you've spent your whole day before you ever give anything to the Lord? I'm not telling you that you got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning so you can read your Bible. But I am telling you, if you're not having any Bible time with Him that's quality time, He's not really a priority to you. I know you're going to say, I was seeing a man the other day wearing a shirt that said, only God can judge me. You don't know how close this preacher was to question him about that, but I didn't get into it. I didn't think that was the place or the setting. If I'd catch him right now, I'd yank him up. But let me tell you something. Is it not amazing? Listen, is it not amazing that we've came to the place that I can do everything that I want to do and still say that God's my first priority? God first, but we really don't mean it. You know what's happened? Our agenda's changed. We've just pushed God out of it. I'm talking about Americans. I'm talking about American churches. I'm talking about independent, fundamental Baptist churches. The people say that God's the priority. Look, Pastor, I'm at church. We're in the midst of a COVID pandemic. We're in the midst of all this chaos and this crisis that's taking place. It's funny to me how God's the last place that we come back. I'm talking about in a daily life. I'm talking about that It truly is going to show who's men and mice through all of this. There's plenty that are sleeping their way through. And they're going to find that they're only here because the pastor was spoon-feeding them. They were already anorexic and now they're going to fall by the wayside. Listen to me. I'm talking about what's happened to America. What have we done to America? We've moved God out of our own agendas. I'm talking about taking a personal account. And so I look here and I find that not only was the agenda in the numbering, but I find the arrogance in the numbering. The arrogance in the numbering. Notice, if you would, now hold your place in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I want you to look back at chapter 24 of 2 Samuel. And I'll preach quicker here. I know I'm kind of dragging on here. Bear with me. In 2 Samuel 24, look at the end of verse number 2. He says, "And number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people." And Joab said unto the king, now listen, it's amazing to me that here's Joab, which is anything but a godly witness, which is anything but someone who David should listen to for spiritual advice, is telling him, whoa, king, hold on. God's already put you there. I mean, he's blessed you. Why do you really need to know? Hold on, king. And obviously from this account, if we were to look on down into verse number 4, we'd find that the captain of the host, these are his men, had said, what's it really matter? And David didn't answer or didn't listen. Say, preacher, why is that? Because David wanted to see, and if you would look down in verse number 3 here, Joab, the very last part, he says, but why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? May I tell you that there was some arrogance in this? Who was he talking to? Who provoked him in 1 Chronicles 21, or 27 in verse number 1? 21 in verse 1. 21 in verse 1. Why was he listening to Satan? You see, there was some arrogance. Did we not see it in verse number 2? That I may see. Whose words are those? That's Satan's words. That's Satan saying that, look, there's some arrogance in this. You should be able to know how great of a king you really are. Oh, God's put a stamp of approval on you, but let's see how good of a stamp that really is. And what's happened today is we've filled our barns and they've become full because God's blessed us, and we've ripped them down and we've built bigger, and then we've ripped those down because God continues to bless and we build bigger. And you say, preacher, you have all these things too. Listen to me. As I was studying this out and praying about this, I couldn't help but think about the man in Luke chapter number 12 that had built or had such a great harvest that he didn't even have a barn big enough to put it all. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down this barn and I'm going to build a bigger barn, and I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to take ease, I'm going to be merry, everything's going to be great. And God said, thou fool, today thy soul is required of thee. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? You know where arrogance comes in? When we think that it's because of us. If that rich man that had this bountiful harvest would have prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, what do I do with that? You know what God would have even told him? Listen, build you another barn and I'll fill it too. Because that's my God. But it's not on me. You understand what I'm saying? David's problem in this and the arrogance that we have, it's not because God's blessed us. I've had people tell me, especially those that are of false or cults, we'll just call it what it is, it was a cult. They said, well, the preacher shouldn't be paid. And you're not really godly unless you're poor. I don't know where that is in the Bible. The Bible says that the Christians are the richest. Actually, he doesn't say Christians, he says the righteous. I have all the riches of my Savior. I have a father that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. David said that I was young and now I'm old, and I've never yet seen the righteous begging bread. Why? Because God's taking care of us. The problem came because David wanted to see how much he had done. David wanted to see how great he was. May I tell you what's happened into our independent fundamental Baptist church? Listen to me, I can't speak for the Methodist church. I don't know them. I can't speak for the Catholic church down the road. I don't know them. I can't even speak for the Southern Baptist church just down the road. as I don't know them. But I can tell you what's happened to our community. We've become a little big for our britches. It's all about me, and it's less about him. You know what's happened to America? It's all about, look at how good we are. Look at this church that we've built. Look at the car that I drive. Listen to me, I'm thankful. I was thinking about that the other day. Brother Duke, there's sometimes that God blesses with vehicles. There's sometimes when God blesses you just to fix your vehicle. Jeremiah reminded us last night as we were headed, I don't remember if we were headed out to the farm or headed home from the farm, and he's like, remember when your truck was broke down? I was like, which time? Amen. But you know what? I can buy a whole lot of parts for no truck payment. Amen. Just a thought. God gives. God will let you have your barns, and he'll fill them. The problem comes when we think we're filling them. You see, the arrogance that's came into our churches today is plaguing our nation. It's plaguing our nation. We've tried to keep up with the Joneses. We've let the wrong people. Pride leads us into the wrong conversations with the wrong people. We think that we need to be just like they are and look at the homes that they have. Listen to me. I'd rather have a cottage if that's what God wants me to be in and have his blessing than have a mansion without it. There's nothing wrong with God's blessing on this earth, and he'll take care of us and he'll fill those barns. But when they're not full, are we complaining? That's pride too. Remember that. That's pride too. Lord, you know what I've found? We do pretty good just eating some snack food. It's so hot right now, I can eat about 4 tomatoes and I'm good. That's like a meal at least for a couple hours. Don't get weighted down. Just keep it going. Amen. And so I find here the regret, not just the reconnaissance of the sin. Look, if you would, at 2 Samuel 24. I find the regret. The regret. Look at verse number 10. And David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And so I find the regret of sin. May I tell you where we are as a nation? No accountability. No accountability. Our judicial system and our penal system is a joke. It is. I'm sorry. I've heard of companies in other countries that when their employees fail to produce the product that their employees are supposed to produce, they stand them up on the stage and they spank them with the bamboo rod. You say, preacher, are you signing up for that? Guess what they do next month? They strive to do better, or they find another job, one of the two. Amen. Hey, hold on a second. I'd be all right if those that said, now listen to me, I'm not promoting President Trump one moment, but I'd be all right if those that said if he gets elected, they're moving. I haven't heard of any of them that moved, and we're 4 years into it. I don't get it. It's because there's no accountability. I mean, really, no one really took them serious. But you can break the law, and there's really no accountability. In fact, you have rights. You get cable TV. You get air conditioning. You get 3 meals a day. You get a place to sleep. Amen. I know you get air conditioning. And praise the Lord, even in Georgia, you get heat. You get to exercise. Listen, I'm not saying treat them as dogs, but I'm telling you, the account of other countries, if you go into the jail system, guess who takes care of you? It's not the jail. It's your family. They've got to bring you your meals. They've got to make sure your linens are done. If you get a fresh change of clothes. Oh, by the way, yeah, they don't have to do their own laundry. I know you're going to say, preacher, they've got to make big rocks into little rocks. That's not happening anymore. And they get paid for their time there. What's happened? There's no accountability. David admitted to his sin in verse number 10. Now, I know some are going to say, preacher, he was repenting. No, no, hold on. I'll show you later where he repents. He didn't want the punishment. You know where we are today? I'll admit, oh, sure. And we even make light of it. Oh, I know that was wrong of me. Oh, that was so, I know I shouldn't have done that. But you know what you're going to do? Next time you're going to do the same thing. I'm just being honest. I know you're saying, preacher, this is an awful rough sermon. This is what we need today. This is the preaching that we need. We've lost this preaching. We've lost the fact that we're accountable. And they were willing to admit, and they were willing to say, David said, you know what, I've done foolishly. How many times do we know what the Word of God says and we just don't do it? How many times do we know where we need to step up, where we need to be faithful, and where we need to not be faithful, and the directions we need to go, and the directions we need to not go? And yet so many times when we look, we choose this path versus this path, and we take the easy left over the hard right. Amen. And I look and I find David. He said, look, I've done foolishly. I'll admit I sinned. I did wrong, Lord. He even went to the right place. And I'm afraid that that's where we are today. And I don't know how many bookmarks you got, but I'd like you to turn over to the book of Hebrews. I'd like to remind you about a man by the name of Esau. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. We find of a man by the name of Esau. And I've met some folks, listen to me. I had told you before, I've got a sermon, and I don't even know what I've done with it now, but I've got a sermon that's titled, Your Pastor's Not As Stupid As You Think He Is, or As Dumb As You Think He Is. Because people will come to me, and boy, they'll have those alligator tears, and boy, they'll just, they're in an awful mess, and I really want to fix this, and this is just... And what they're saying is, I would just want out of the situation, but I'm going to get right back in it in a minute. I'm serious. That's where people are today, and that's where we are in the churches today. And boy, they're seeking it. They're wanting it. No, they're wanting out of the situation. David said, let the iniquity pass from me. Get this out of my way, so that I can keep moving forward. And let's just pick it up here. We'll sweep it under the rug, and if we don't say anything, it's fine. It'll be all right. And so I look here in Hebrews chapter number 12. I want you to look at verse number 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I wonder what sin we actually sell our birthright for. You say, preacher, what's that birthright? That birthright is our right that we can come to the Lord and be an example to others. I know you're going to say, preacher, I thought that was where Esau was the firstborn and he was going to perform the rituals. Yeah, that's what I said. You see, he was going to go to God for the family. Listen, daddies, when's the last time that you've needed to go to God for your family and you couldn't because you had already sold your birthright? Listen, mamas, when's the last time you needed to pray for your child and you couldn't because you had already sold your birthright? Listen to me. You say, preacher, I'm just going to scoop that sin away and God's going to turn His blind eye and it's going to be okay. That's not what it says here. Look at verse 17. For ye know how that afterward he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Wonder how many times we've been just like Esau. We've done something that we knew we shouldn't do. God has smote our heart after we did it. No, our conscience began to eat at us. Our conscience told us that that wasn't right. You know that wasn't what God wants you to do. You know that that's not the direction you should have went. And you know that. And you'll even admit it. But you don't want God to deal with it. You know where we are in American churches? We're okay admitting that we're sinners. We're not okay allowing God to do something about it. Because can I tell you how much of your sin you can get rid of? You know why people tell me and they come to me and they say, boy, I want to get out of this. I've gotten in this situation and I know it was my fault and I know I'm wrong and I need help and I need this and I need that. And what they're wanting is out of that problem. They're wanting out of the consequences of it. And then they fall right back into it because they didn't allow God to do anything about the problem, which was them. It was them. They were the problem. You see, where we are today in our churches is we're killing America because we don't allow God to do anything with this. He admitted that he had sin. And he even agonized over the sin. Over in 2 Samuel chapter number 24 and verse number 11, it says, "And when David was up in the morning," you say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" He didn't sleep. He was already up. And it goes on, and it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying," may I paint a picture for you here? I know this isn't really an amen sermon. This isn't a shouting sermon. But the man of God was at home resting while the sinner was sitting toiling. The man of God was asleep in his own bed, comfortable, relaxed, and everything was great. And God woke him up and said, "Hey, I need you to go see David." Now, I don't know how early it was. And I don't even know that God didn't wait for Gad to wake up. It just said that David was already up. David knew that his sin was still upon him. David knew that he wasn't forgiven. David knew that he wasn't where he needed to be. Oh, he had admitted his sin, but then he agonized over it. I think about Psalm chapter number 6 and verse 6. It says, "I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears." Look at today. You say, "Preacher, how does that apply today?" I'm glad you asked. Take your Bibles, turn back over to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to look at verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And verse number 1. I'm talking about our churches today. I'm talking about where we are as children of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," may I tell you that that's July the 12th, 2020. You could put that date right there. Latter times. "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having," notice this, "their conscience seared with a hot iron." You ever notice that sin doesn't seem to be... How can someone preach this book and turn around 5 years later and be contrary to what they preached? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Now let me bring it down to the people. It's not just the preacher, it's the people. How can the people say that we believe this book and we believe that preaching that was 5 years earlier and then change and say that it must be okay now? No, their conscience has been seared. And they're no longer agonizing. May I tell you that so many people have grieved the Holy Spirit so long, there's no word being spoke. Take your Bibles, look over the book of Titus. In Titus chapter number 1, I want you to look at verse number 15. Titus chapter number 1, I want you to look at verse 15. In Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is not nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and into every good work reprobate." I'm talking about in our churches today. I'm not talking about in the cults. I'm not talking about the liberals. I'm talking about in those that profess that they live for the Lord, those that preach out of this old King James Bible, those that have the traditional hymns, those that still preach separation, those that still... What's happened? We've said that it's all right to live that way. And we're okay with it. And preacher, if you just bend just a little bit, we're no longer agonizing about sin. We're no longer coming to the place that it's even sin in our churches anymore. It's just a little bit. It's just a little bit of immodesty. It's just a little bit of language. It's just a little bit of contemporary. It's just a little... No, hold on a second. It's a whole lot of not of God. Amen. And this is what's happening. Listen, I'm talking about the plague of America. What have we done to America? We're killing it. We're killing it. It's not the politicians. It's the church. It's the church. Notice, if you would, we find the repercussion of sin. I find the chastisement. The chastisement. I find here that God has sent His seer. He has sent Gad to speak to David. And He said, look, I'm going to give you three options. You can either have 7 years of famine. Let's have everyone starve to death. In America, it'd take more than that. Amen. We probably have to have 15, 20 years of famine to get everyone to starve to death. Amen. We live so richly, and remember that famine's not just speaking about not having anything to eat. Amen. We are a rich nation. Even those in poverty, we're rich. Amen. And I look here and I find he gives him three options. He says, look, I can make it to where you have 7 years of famine, I can make it to where you have 3 months of running, or I'll give you 3 days. May I remind you that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And David said that I'm going to plead on the mercy of God. And he said, I'll take the 3 days. God said, okay. May I tell you that chastisement is determined by the sin. David's sin of pride is too large to ignore. Now listen to me. I'm not trying to paint you the picture that God's sitting up there on the throne waiting for you to mess up so He can squish you like an ant. Because that's not who God is. But may I be honest with you, we have not taken the place that we believe that God's going to chastise sin. We've taken the place that we say that we can get away with it. And God says, be sure your sin will find you out. We've said that it's all right, God's, it's just a little white lie. God's going to ignore this. Now listen, why did God send a pestilence to destroy the people? You see, David's problem was pride in his strength. And his strength was in the number of the men and women of that country. And he said that, look how great of a king I am because of all the people I have. And God said, that's fine, I'm going to bring you down. And God removed the people. God removed his strength. Listen to me. God will judge sin. He does not turn a blind eye. And as the saved, guess when we're getting judged for our sin? Now. I don't get judged for my sin when I go to eternity. Hey man, my sin's forgiven. You say, preacher, why would God chastise me? I'm His child. That's why God chastises you. Because He loves you. You're His child. And so I find that it's determined by the sin, but I find that it's delivered to the Son. In Hebrews, the Bible tells us here in Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 6 through 8, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all are partakers, then ye are bastards. And not sons. Listen to me. God never turns a blind eye to sin. He's going to chastise. And I don't know that He's not already. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Did you not notice how America, including churches, have just went back to their own ways? When's the last time you've heard America crying out, Lord, we need You. Lord, search me. Lord, help us. I know that there's plenty of crusades and plenty of want to turn their lips back to Him. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about turning your heart back to Him. You know, God always deals in the area where we need it the most. I think about the children of Israel. They got tired of manna and they wanted the flesh, didn't they? They said, we need flesh. We're tired of this manna. Give us some flesh to eat. And so God said, that's fine. You want flesh, I'll give you flesh. And Moses said, Lord, how am I going to do that? I mean, look at the number of people that we have. How am I going to feed all of them? And God says, don't worry about it. I'll serve it right up. And boy, He sent that quail 3 foot high. And they took those sticks. Listen, you want to talk about 3 foot? That is right in the batting zone. And boy, they knocked those quail down. They filled them by the bag full. And you remember when God smote them? They had the quail in the teeth. God deals as God deals. And He does not ignore sin. But I'm thankful there's a recompense for sin because there are some people that look up. There are some people that look up. And so I find the repentance of the sin. Notice if you would. Oh, I want to share this with you. I don't know. It tells us here in 2 Samuel chapter number 24. It tells us that it was in the time. If you were to look in... let me get to the right verse here. Verse number 16, the angel appointed. Yep. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, and the Lord repented of the evil and the angel that destroyed the people, He said, it is enough. And they're at the threshing floor. It goes on. Go back to verse 15. The Lord sent the pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. Now that time appointed is kind of an important time. God said 3 days. Now I don't know that it was 3 days. Although that was the time originally appointed. And I'm going to speak to you here in a moment. Because I know God's merciful. Aren't you thankful for that? That God's merciful? You see, there's some that would say, well, this would have been the time for the evening sacrifice on the third day. Then there's some out there that would say that this was the time for the evening sacrifice even on the first day. Now, it took Joab and his men 9 months and 20 days to count the men of Israel. That really amounted to nothing because David didn't even write it down in the Chronicles. It took God. Now listen, if this was the first day from the morning to 9 hours to the evening sacrifice. It took God 9 hours to kill out 70 people. It doesn't take God long to bring you to your knees. And I guess that's my point. It's not really significant if it was the third day or 9 hours later. It was the fact that God did a work. But may I remind you that God's always merciful. I don't know which number's right. The Bible says appointed time, and we can't say, oh, well, it had to have been that third day. Because I can tell you many times that God should have done something, but the Bible tells us that He repented of it. God said, look, and that word repented doesn't mean that God had to change His mind and went against what He had said. No, 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 no. God had turned Himself. Remember when God had been to the place that He was so disgusted with man that He was going to destroy it with flood. God's always merciful, folks. He still has that mercy today. And so we're able to find in verse number 17 here the repentance. Notice if you would. There's a repentance of sin. We find the display for repentance is found in verse number 16. God moved first. It's important for us to remember this. Listen to me. I know we're in trouble today. I know that we're suffering today. I know that we're in chaos today. And we're really not certain what's going to hold in tomorrow. But I'm thankful that God always moves first. In verse number 16, it was God that had stopped the angel's hand. In verse number 16, it was the Lord moving. And He said, enough. We've done enough. Oh, I'm thankful 2,000 years ago at Calvary, God moved first. I'm thankful that when it comes to forgiveness of my sins, and it comes to forgiveness of my iniquity, that God moved first. Oh, you say, preacher, what's so important about that? Because it caused David to look. Verse number 17, the Bible says, and David spake to the Lord. When did he speak to the Lord? When he saw the angel that smote the people. Do you know what he saw? The angel stopped. When we see the mercy of God, it is the display for repentance. It is the place that brings us to the place of repentance. It's when we see the mercy of God that we're able to look up to God. Listen, if it wasn't for the fact of Calvary, we couldn't look to Him. If it wasn't for what God's done and God moving first, we could never come to Him. And David looked up when he saw the mercy of God. Ezekiel chapter number 16 and verse number 63. The Bible says that thou mayest remember and be confounded and never open thy mouth anymore because of thy shame when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord. Listen, when we're able to see God pacified, when we're able to see God in that mercy seat, we can come to Him and cry out. I think about the psalmist here, of course, David, in Psalm 136, the whole chapter, it says that for His mercy endureth forever. In verse number 1, he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." May I tell you that God's mercy still endureth today, because it endureth forever. And so I find the direction of repentance. When did David really repent? Listen to me. He recognized his sin in verse number 10, but he repented of his sin in verse number 17. Notice this, David spake unto the Lord. It doesn't tell us that he spake unto the angel. What good would it have done? The angel was nothing but the messenger, nothing but the man that God had sent, or the member that God had sent to do His work. And so I find here that David had went straight to God. Oh, I'm telling you, we've came to a place that he was grieved over those that were affected by his sin. He was grieved in this. And look at verse 17. "And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, Lo, I have sinned." I remember Jacob in the time when Isaac wanted to bless Esau. And he went in and Isaac asked him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I'm Esau." But when God got a hold of him and he got a hold of God, he had to come to the place that he just called out. And God said, "What's thy name?" And he said, "My name's Jacob." He couldn't pretend to be Esau anymore. He couldn't pretend that he could be anyone else. Listen to me. The problem that we have today isn't anyone else's fault but mine. If we'll come to the place that we say, "Lord, I need you to search me. Lord, I want you to reveal if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, I want to know that I'm where you want me to be." I think about David here, and he says, "Lord, I have sinned and have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done?" Last night, for the state of Georgia, we're, I think, right at 2,900 deaths, almost 3,000 deaths. We'll just go ahead and round it up. I wonder how many of those are lost. I wonder how many of those we'd say, "Lord, I know you're saying, 'Preacher, I'm not taking the blame for the whole country because of me.'" Listen to me. 70,000 men died because one man sinned. Don't think God takes it serious. 70,000 because of one? God takes it serious. Why don't we take it serious? Look, if you would, over at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter number 7. I want you to look at verse number 12. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse number 12. And I'll quit here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Everyone likes to apply this to the whole nation. This isn't for the whole nation. God was speaking to the nation of Israel. Today, if we were to apply it, it's speaking to the church. In verse number 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, 'I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray.'" Huh. David's problem was pride. He needed to pray unto the Lord. and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then